Back from vacation, back in studio. Glad you're back with us. Hopefully you never left. Thanks to Kevin Gray filling in last week. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Autoflex Easy Fan Text is open at 877-881-1053. Let's get to your 6 a.m. headlines. It is nice, even though it's a pain in the butt, to not do the show at home in your own living room, to see the view out here again at 75. That's at least nice, even though this morning I was up at 3:30, couldn't go back to sleep. I was like, when do I need to leave again? What about the coffee prep? Getting into the parking garage, is my pass still going to work?
Oh, that was a big concern. I couldn't even find my pass.
Yeah, to get into the building, to get onto the floor, and then my normal drive shut down. I was like, this is why I leave early. I knew something was going to happen because I've been cursed with traveling over the course of the past 48 hours. How have the roads been sitting here driving in the morning again and going back home? Is everyone back on the road like normal?
The construction seems to have picked up as if they're preparing that everybody's going to be coming back to work. It's like, guys, we've had a year and a half.
Yeah.
Like what's going on here? So I had 75 shut down one day, I had 35 shut down one day, I had a new bridge to go over the first day I was coming back. I had no idea what that was, so I missed my turn. So there was that. Not really much on the way home.
It even felt weird driving.
Oh, it did. Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you know, is the car going to... I thought that was going to be my out. I was like, I haven't driven my car for so long because I'm just driving hers to try to go ahead and get the lease miles on it. I haven't driven mine for so long. I'm like, I know this thing's going to die. This thing's going to be messed up. I'm going to have one more show on Zoom. But alas, it did start.
You were trying to add miles to a lease?
I'm trying to get the miles that I paid for on the lease. You pay for a certain amount, pandemic hits, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to come up thousands of miles short. You know, you like, get your money's worth on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're not going to owe anything extra.
No. I'm going to come up well short.
Oh, man.
Well short.
See, I always come up high on miles for leases.
Yeah, but
I never.
You don't usually have a pandemic.
No, I don't.
So the pandemic kept everyone off the road. So I was like, here it is. I haven't driven my car forever. Bam. But, you know, it is nice to see. And so the amount of traffic, like driving back home for you, which would be still like the remaining, I guess it's, you know, just past rush hour. But looking out here, is it packed? Like,
it's not as much as it used to be before pandemic hit, obviously. But there's people on the road. Yeah, there's definitely people on the road.
All right, let's get to your 6 a.m. headlines. I think you and I had been criticizing Aaron Rodgers up to this point. We were Team Green Bay. And then their front office started opening their mouths. Just a few days after the team president, the CEO, Mark Murphy, said, you know what? The less both sides say publicly, the better. That's what he said just a few days ago. The less anyone says about this drama, the better. Now, this is a little echoey because, again, I think this was a function.
It was. It was a fundraiser.
We have to come up with a name for this. We have to come up with a name for this when it's a booster meeting, when it's a fundraiser, where people get caught, where people get in trouble for talking and speaking, getting recorded. Got to come up for something. Autoflex Leasing Fantex will. So it's a little echoey because of the setting, but here is CEO Mark Murphy talking about Ted Thompson and what he used to say about Aaron Rodgers. Now, Ted Thompson was the former GM who recently passed away. Mike McCarthy obviously knows him well. Here's what Mark Murphy said about Ted Thompson's opinion of Aaron Rodgers.
I'm often reminded, though, of Ted Thompson, I think most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away this past year.
Earlier this year, often talked about Aaron, that he's a and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players, he would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that.
Oh, my God. He's a complicated fella. Now, some people in life can hear and absorb criticism. I know that I can be complicated. I know that I have a temper. I know this, and I know that about myself. Now, whether I'm willing to change it is a whole nother story. But we all, you know we should know our faults. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers falls into that category of someone that would just absorb this and say, you know what, he's right. I am a little bit complicated. I can be a little bit difficult. This was bad, and this may, I don't want to be overdramatic, but this in my mind, I was like, this is it. That's the final nail in the coffin, because I always thought Rodgers was going back there.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is that guy. I don't know why Aaron doesn't really talk to his parents, but I'm going to go on the assumption that she made green beans at Thanksgiving when he specifically asked for corn. That's green, what I'm going on.
Green bean casserole, you could have. I mean, who doesn't like green bean casserole?
I love it. It's fantastic.
Fantastic.
I'm going to go on that assumption. So this is not a guy that takes criticism nicely.
No.
I'm thinking of two things. Booster bungle, booster brain fart. Maybe go something like that. Keep it the double B, the alliteration, if you want to call it that. Yeah. But I don't know how some guys get their jobs, or girls for that matter. He's a complicated fellow. Why don't you just say Aaron's an a-hole? And we just don't like him, but he's good at football, so we're going to keep him here. Like, that would have been at least better. I think Aaron would have respected that a little bit more than you calling him a complicated fellow. Yeah. I hope he refuses to play now. Like, what a moron. Bugs Bunny would call him. What a maroon. What a moron this guy.
Does this switch your support? Are you Team Aaron now? Team Rodgers?
Man, if I could ever be Team Rodgers. I just can't root for the number 12. It's hard to with Tom Brady.
Okay.
But yes, I'm probably Team Aaron.
Yeah. I guess I'm understanding a little bit more of Aaron's side, but just a really dumb comment on behalf of the Packers front office. This, by the way, every time I turned on, you try to stay on top of some topics while you're out for a long time, and this is all ESPN is talking about. I mean, Every single day. This must have been what everyone else felt like with the Dak negotiations and Dak contract. I was just nonstop. I'm like, what else can you talk about? And then I'm like, wait, that was kind of like us in terms of the Dak Prescott story. What else can you talk about? We're going out to Green Bay, and Jordan Love this, and Jordan Love that, and Aaron isn't showing up. So it's just nonstop. Did you guys talk about Russell Wilson? Did this come out over the weekend with Russell Wilson saying, no. Yeah. I never... You talked about it?
We did. We talked about Friday. Yeah. It was just, come on. You absolutely talked. You absolutely wanted out.
And then Jeremy Fowler saying things could get ugly. He said this, I think, later on Friday.
I don't remember saying anything about that. I don't remember that.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL insider, said Russell was frustrated because he felt his name was floated in trade rumors even a few years back. And if Seattle doesn't get to the Super Bowl, all right, and he was trying to present these ideas to say, hey, let's try this, let's try that. He was met with resistance. Things are better now, but his contract is very much tradable next year. So he was saying that if they don't get to the Super Bowl or very, very close, then things could get ugly yet again in Seattle.
If they get ugly, we're going to see the same thing here that we saw last year, only this time it'll be a trade. But this is always the easy out for these athletes, right? You could just say, I never said it. My agent did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this was with Russ. I mean, we know better. We're smarter than that. Just come out and say, yeah, you asked for a trade. And that you guys were able to kumbaya and get over your issues.
And is Russ going to take any responsibility? And I can speak to this because he was on my fantasy team, and that's where, incorporating fantasy can help, even if you don't play. Russ going to take any responsibility for his second half play? No. First half MVP, second half falling off a cliff with DK Metcalf and your weapons out there. Is Russ going to say anything, or is it going to be the organization's fault if the Seahawks aren't in the NFC Championship game or in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you can't say anything if you're Russ about the weapons that he's been given. He has been given a ton of help with DK and Lockett. They've used a first-round pick on a running back recently. I mean, they've got guys on that team that are very, very good. And he also, at one point in his career, had one of the 10 best defenses ever.
Yes.
So come on now.
He threw 28 touchdown passes last year in the first half. How many do you think he threw in the second?
12.
12 on the dot.
Woo!
12. From 28 to 12. And Russell Wilson. Now, we've kind of taken Russ's side in this because... You've called out Pete Carroll for being overrated, and some of the things they do there offensively seem a little bit Stone Age, but that's Russell. No. We all know Russ was trying to send a message. He does this little good guy and this million-dollar smile that he hides behind, but Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, saying that could still get ugly. Travis Kelce was playing in a charity softball tournament, and he said that the Cleveland Browns are right there. Now, maybe he was saying this to pay compliments to Jarvis Landry because it was Jarvis's charity softball game, but he said, I can view Cleveland as neck and neck right there with us. You think of the Browns and the Chiefs on the same level?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't think they're, they're close.
Because of one reason.
Yeah, Mahomes.
Versus Baker.
Right. I mean, that's it.
Roster-wise, you could make the argument. If Aaron Rodgers was on the Browns, maybe that's a little too easy of an example.
Right.
But a better quarterback than Baker, I'm not all in on Baker Mayfield.
I'm not all in either. I think if you were to give, let's just take the quarterbacks out of it. So two through 53.
Yeah.
They're very similar. Like the defenses aren't great, but Cleveland's got more playmakers on their defense.
Yep.
And offensively, I mean, I would take Hill and Kelsey and Hardman. Is Sammy Watkins still there?
I don't know.
Over OBJ and Landry and Hooper.
Yep.
Hooper.
The backs.
But then the running backs are much better in Cleveland. So, I mean, it's a very close offensive weaponry. It's very close in the offensive weaponry, but it's the quarterback that separates those two.
Yeah. So I'm not totally buying that, but all the Cleveland hype is there. Speaking of Kansas City, and this will probably be the final time that Le'Veon Bell gets into the news. Le'Veon Bell putting Andy Reid on blast, which nobody does. He was on social media over the weekend, and he basically wrote, "I'll never play for Andy Reid again. I would retire first." So that was on Instagram. That was in some type of Instagram post based on someone spending $700 at McDonald's. That's what jumps out to me more than the actual NFL story here.
That someone actually spent $700 at McDonald's, yes. Or that it made Le'Veon Bell think of Andy Reid.
Well, Le'Veon, you know, I don't know what type of shape he's been in lately, but ooh. Le'Veon then went on Twitter and said, "I regret making that public. I don't regret what I said. I still feel the same way." So that's Le'Veon Bell putting Andy Reid on blast a little bit. What did he do in 9 games with the Chiefs? Started to rush for 254 yards. And 2 touchdowns, RIP, Le'Veon Bell, and that career.
Like, if I was Andy Reid, I would just come out and say, you know, in response, because someone's going to ask him about this, I would just say, look, well, he's probably going to be forced into retirement anyway.
Right.
So it's the problem is solved. I just don't, like, if I'm Le'Veon Bell trying to get a job, maybe he's not. I just don't see the benefit here. Like, how's this going to help you?
Right.
Like, how does this do anything to help you get a job, get a coaching job, whatever you want to do in the NFL? Maybe he doesn't want to do anything. Maybe he wants to retire and he's got tons of cash. Maybe he'll be fine.
Go after one of the most likable and best offensive minds in the entire sport. So that's the Jets. And now KC. Good Lord. I missed on Le'Veon Bell leaving Pittsburgh. That was a past embarrassing take of mine. 1291 was the rushing yards his last year in Pittsburgh. What was his high in rushing in the years after?
789. Ooh.
789, then 254 with Kansas City, and 74 with, so you add it up. It was about 300 yards last year, 789 the year before.
Ooh.
Le'Veon Bell falling off the map. His career probably that's over. See you later. I thought Kyler Murray didn't talk. I didn't think Kyler Murray had any personality. Well, then over the weekend, he apparently did an interview with Sports Illustrated and was asked, you know, our very own Allen High School, Oklahoma Sooner, did you grow up being a Cowboys fan?
You got to be a Cowboys fan.
No?
They were always ass.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Okay.
Before I was born,
they were 23.
I like the Vikings, bro. Yeah. When I grew up, I was growing up.
Wait
a second. Vikings!
Did he say I like the Vikings?
Well, that Case Keenum Vikings? I mean, who was he rooting for?
That had to be the Randy.
I was born there, 23. I like the Vikings, bro. Yeah. When I grew up, I was growing.
That had to just be Randy Moss. That's it.
I don't even think he was born when Randy Moss was playing.
Yeah, we need to see when Randy Moss was in his prime, how old Kyler Murray was. This is supposed to be the segment and the opinion where you just blast Kyler Murray and insult him. But I sit there and say, what are you going to say? What are you going to say to insult Kyler Murray calling the Cowboys ass throughout the time he was growing up?
Kyler Murray was born in 97. Randy Moss's career began in 98. So, like, when Randy left Minnesota, it was like 04. So Kyler would have been like 6, 7 years old.
Yes,
there's no way.
Too young.
Too young. So who was he rooting for in Minnesota? Adrian Peterson?
Adrian Peterson.
Dante Culpepper.
Culpepper was with Moss.
Moss, yep.
So was Cunningham. So Adrian Peterson, and that's it. So now Kyler Murray is catching the wrath of some of the Cowboy Tolos and fans for insulting America's team.
He was really high on that Brett Favre Minnesota team, I guess.
Very weird. That was a fun run. That was a win over the Cowboys in the postseason.
It was.
But I agree with what you said last night about this.
Look, this should scare the crap out of Jerry Jones that you have a football player in your own city who never rooted for you, or at least claims never rooted for you. I know there's some photos of him in a Cowboy jersey as a kid. But, I mean, kids wear jerseys all the time.
Yeah,
kids are not going to wait around for you to get good anymore. They're just not. They also aren't going to be loyal to local teams when modern technology allows them to watch out-of-market games every single day of the week, regardless of what sport it is. I mean, there's no way for us to know the impact right now that their failures for a quarter of a century have. But this should, like, it's probably not the only one. Kyler Murray's probably not the only young kid out here.
Julio. Look at how Julio talked about us. So Julio, older. Kyler Murray, younger. Cowboys, 25 years, no NFC title game. That's what you get.
So you get. So now the star, you know, you got another generation where the America's Team label has faded and gone away. Are we
the Knicks?
I mean, not quite. Holy cow.
More popular. Nationally, no doubt. But that's what I thought of yesterday while reading this story. I'm like, are we the Knicks? Like, players throughout the league laugh at the Knicks.
Right.
You know, there used to be, go to New York and be on all the billboards and the spotlights. It's, I ain't going to play for James Dolan. I'm not going to play for that team. Now, this year they had a very nice season, but it feels like we're a little bit more popular version of the New York Knicks.
I think that's fair. The Bulls could be one of them. You know, Reinsdorf was never the most, loved. I mean, I shouldn't say loved, but he was never the greatest owner. He's a good owner. But, they've done nothing since MJ, outside of a stint with Derrick Rose where they probably disappointed because of the injuries. But, the Knicks are fair. Huge market, huge fan base, nothing to show for.
Living in the past.
That's absolutely right. But this cannot be good. I can't imagine. This can be good for Jerry Jones. Like, he doesn't read this and says, oh. Like, he doesn't read this and ignore it. He reads this and it hits him hard.
I don't think it hits him at all. That's part of Jerry's problem. Nothing hits him. All he cares about, I mean, I'm not going to say Jerry doesn't care about winning. I don't want Bassey to come in here at 6:30 this morning and go on a rant. But when Jerry sees the numbers and the ratings and the ticket sales and what's generated, he's like, Kyler Murray's a fool. Go ahead. Have that opinion. Have that take. Look at the numbers. Look at the facts. We're still the top dog. We have all the highest rated telecasts. We have all the highest rated broadcasts. Sunday Night Football wants us first and foremost. And that's what Jerry would say. He wouldn't let this faze him one bit.
No, he probably wouldn't, but it should. This should hurt. When you have a local, could you imagine like a great basketball player growing up in LA hating the Lakers?
Yeah.
Could you imagine a great baseball player growing up in New York hating the Yankees?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen. But for whatever reason, now you may be a Met fan or a Clipper fan, so I get that, but there's nobody else in town. Like, this is the only game in town. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine this.
So that's Kyler calling the Cowboys ass. I just kept track of a couple mini camp notes from last week and was curious how much it was hyped up or how much you really thought about it. Zeke in awesome shape, according to everyone. And then have we gotten confirmation? Are we going Nashawn or Nashawn Wright? How are we pronouncing this kid's name? That was, man, Mickey. Mickey wrote an article on this kid, and he was taking so many shots at Dane Brugler and our scouts who were questioning this pick. This was the pick where everyone was looking around in the room when it was Broadus and Jeff and Dane Brugler saying, I haven't scouted this kid. I haven't heard of him. And the Cowboys went and took a guy who was a seventh rounder, according to Dane. And I'm not going to sit here and insult Dane. I'm still going to wait for him to be proven wrong in the third round. But Mickey was just crushing so many passive-aggressive shots at the scouts. But Nashawn Wright was apparently just jumping out to everyone. And then Zeke, you can feel the comments from his teammates talking about Zeke not being all in the past when it came to his conditioning. It's just, it's obvious. It's clear. Dak said something. Tony Pollard said something. Here, this was Dax, and I don't want to repeat too much, so just cut me off. But here's Dak. Everyone's seen the clips of him working out independently this offseason. His cuts, just how explosive he is. When Zeke's healthy and Zeke's doing his thing, he's the best running back in the league. That is a nice way of saying, look, when Zeke is all in and he's in really good shape, then he can be the man. And Tony Pollard said something. It kind of jumped out to me. He's been locked in. I can tell you he took the right step forward this offseason, getting his diet right and getting in shape. Now, how many years has Zeke Elliott been in the league on this football team?
Let's see. So same as Dak. So 5, 6 now?
Yeah. So that's Tony Pollard, a little young kid, his backup saying, yep, got his diet right. He's locked in. So Zeke has heard the noise, and it seems like he's a little bit offended and ready to prove people wrong.
Well, I hope so. I don't know if I'm going to go as far as say he's still the best running back in the league when he's all in.
No.
If his offensive line was still great, it's still good, but I don't know if it's great anymore. Then he certainly has a chance. But I think most people would pick Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb and McCaffrey and a healthy Saquon and maybe one or two other guys over him.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, definitely not the best in the league. And like you said, the Tony Pollard stuff and what Chris Collinsworth said on the podcast as well regarding Tony Pollard. You didn't hear that?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Chris Collinsworth was basically giving props to Tony Pollard, saying there's something really special in this kid. But when you got a guy making as much as Zeke is, that's why he gets the looks. And then RJ, of course, Dak had to drop this like everyone does when they come back from an injury or they're coming back for a better season.
Zeke looks great. I mean, Zeke's in the best shape of his life.
Best shape of his life. There it is. The best shape of his life.
Gotta have it every year.
Because you know what? As you get older, best shape of your life.
There's nothing. I'm trying to rank the worthlessness of quotes in sports when it comes to preseason. Shape, system fit, scheme. I'm trying to think which one means less. Which one's a bigger joke?
Correct.
Correct. Yes. So all of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above.
All of the above. And like I mentioned, the Chris Collinsworth podcast, I want to get your opinion on this. Chris Collinsworth doing a podcast with Richard Sherman where he was talking about Zeke and Tony Pollard.
And Ezekiel Elliott, we've talked about it, but the $90 million man. It was probably the poster child for our case that it really is more about the offensive line than the running back. He had career lows last year, really did not look like he was as effective. But when you take out both tackles and your best guard, running back's going to pay the price for it. The guy that I almost feel sorry for sometimes in this offense is Tony Pollard. I think Tony Pollard can really play.
He's
just not going to get the opportunities because he's not the guy that got the paycheck.
Well, my take on that is Chris Collinsworth is a major investor, maybe even owner, in Pro Football Focus.
That is true.
And my take on that is he is a little bit ahead of some of the other analysts in running backs not mattering as much. And Tony Pollard, I got to compare it to Zeke, but Tony Pollard's Pro Football Focus grade was a 71.3. So that to me is Collinsworth being a little bit ahead of the others in terms of the analytics and the numbers and what running backs mean.
Yeah, and if you go and look at like some of their efficiency numbers, they're very, very similar, those two running backs. You know, like beyond the Pro Football Focus, they're, you know, per play efficiency, they were right there with each other. You could get, now the question with Pollard, this is the question with a lot of people is, you know, if you were to hand him the ball 300 times a year or whatever, would he be able to sustain that? We don't know. But I think the analytics crowd would tell you that you don't have to because then you just find the next guy.
Yeah. Well, it's like doing this. It's like doing this show. Someone could come in and have a spectacular 10 minutes of radio.
They could. I would bet against it.
I would bet against it, especially if it was from 5:30 to 10. Not as good as us. How are you going to do in the final hour on Friday after 4.5 hours every day? That's what I think of with the running backs.
Oh, yeah. Final hour on Fridays is a wild card. I mean, nobody even knows what's going to happen in that final hour.
Yeah. So that's what I took from Chris Collinsworth in those comments. Zeke getting all the praise for his conditioning. And this kid right at corner, a lot of people talking about him. Urban Meyer calling Tim Tebow just decent.
Mm.
A lot of people are like, whoa, what? Urban Meyer isn't going to go crazy and overhype him. And he said, you wish you could see and do more spring football. You have full pads and scrimmages. You can't really evaluate, but it's kind of tough now. Tim has done a decent job. He's a great teammate, blah, 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 locker room, but he's picking it up decently.
I would think that a guy who has already been in your system would pick it up better than decently.
Well, system at a different position.
Different position.
And is this the same system? We're going to have the same system as a 90 Florida teams?
I mean, let's see. It was 06, 08, something like that, in 09. It probably is a little bit more advanced. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's – and obviously the position change is going to be huge. That's the big one. You know, doing things from the quarterback position versus tight end is probably way, way, way different. But, you know, there's also that, you know, like they're going to use him in that Taysom Hill role. That was the other talk.
I wonder if Urban heard the media coverage and was like, I need to tone it down a little bit. I need to bring Tim back down to earth and make sure it's clear. Trevor Lawrence is my guy at quarterback. For the psychotic people that think that maybe the Jacksonville fans are psychotic, they're going to be chanting Tebow if Trevor throws four picks in his first two starts. But maybe Urban is trying to pump the brakes publicly for his own locker room as well on a little bit of the Tebow hype.
Who knows? I mean, you know, he's not an idiot. He understands when he's going to lose the locker room. So maybe that partly is the issue for Urban and why he said he's just picking it up decently.
All right, last 2 weeks have taught me a little bit. If you want to get married, if you are getting a Lyft or an Uber, and if you're planning to fly soon, the nightmare stories and warnings for you next on The Fan. A lot of people, I finally had it. I made up my mind like 24 hours ago. I'm like, I'm just going to lose sponsors here. I'm sorry, Choppy. Oh. We're going to do them together. Mike Fisher, I can hear him rolling in his grave. He's like, I don't understand why anyone talks about any business that could potentially sponsor you, because we got to keep it real.
Got to keep it real.
We got to keep it real.
Keep it real never goes wrong. Just ask Chappelle.
Can't be a sellout. If you are getting married, like I just did, anytime soon. Now, I don't know what the other alternatives are for the rental process for the suits or the tuxes. Stay away from Men's Warehouse. Stay away.
Oh, no.
Men's Warehouse, the number one seed. My guys, three of them did not have their suits the day of the wedding. They didn't deliver them. They're just like, we got a shipment issue. They changed my shoes 2 weeks before. I had no idea. Yeah. One of my guys went, got fitted or whatever. They're like, oh, they've changed it from brown to black. I called them up. I was like, yo, what's going on? Like, you kind of have to tell me these things. And they're like, oh, well, sorry, national issue. It's a national issue. So one guy in the wedding party, Pink Pants, who,
oh, yeah,
as you know him as, he had to, they gave him a gray suit.
Look, they did as good as they could to match. It was, Sean and the other groomsmen were wearing like a light gray.
Yeah.
His looked like it was the same suit. He just jumped in water.
Oh,
like okay. A little bit darker.
A little dark.
With different colored shoes.
Different colored shoes, yeah.
Yeah.
He liked the way he looked, I guarantee it.
Yeah, so there you go. So that made me very bitter towards Men's Warehouse.
Yeah.
And them not having, you know, the suits and tuxes that, you know, reserved like 6 months ago.
Right.
They're out. My aunt, you know, I'm 90 miles away from the airport. She flew in from California trying to get her to the airport without taking that drive. I'm like, I'm going to reserve. Schedule a Lyft.
Oh.
Scheduled. Got it from Baltimore to my hometown. Let's see if we can get it from the hometown back to Baltimore. Nope. No notification. No contact. Calls me like 20 minutes later. The car isn't here. I go to check on Lyft. Searching for your vehicle. Searching, you know, like the Knight Rider. No. Left, right. So no notification from them. Not happy with Lyft.
No.
And then my final one, I think the station will get mad at this one, or the Cowboys.
Okay. I'll find a way to defend them. I don't know who it is, but I'll balance it out.
All right. I'm going to go to American Airlines.
Oh, I could defend the airlines all day. This is my wheelhouse.
American Airlines changing the flight 6 times, finally canceling it. No one knows anything. They throw up. I said to Amanda, I said, now I see how these videos go viral in the terminal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I'm just seething. Mm-hmm. And they throw up this poor individual who knows nothing.
No, absolutely not.
And all she does is keep saying, there's more on the app than here at the terminal. You'll get more information and knowledge on your phone than you can here. I don't know where, you know, you fly out. So they don't know anything. Mechanical issues in Dallas with the plane. Can't get it to Baltimore. And I'm like, okay, like, now what? Like, a total lack of options, like, to fly to one of the biggest hubs in the entire country, maybe the biggest hub. And I'm like, okay, can I at least get, you know, you get a voucher to stay, right? Like, I need to sleep here. Yeah. Need to sleep here with my 11-month-old. It's 10 p.m. I'm screwed. I got him out. I need to get him to sleep, and we can figure it out tomorrow. You don't get the free hotel vouchers unless it's your connecting flight. When it's your original flight, no vouchers. See you later on that. So just know that if you're traveling down the road. So if you fly.
That's a new policy.
Is it? I mean, yep. I guess it kind of makes sense, right? Because they figure you just go back home.
Well, what if you're leaving home?
Right.
Then you already, you don't have a place.
Yeah.
Typically, they don't give you hotel vouchers for a weather issue because that's not their fault.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
But if it's a mechanical issue or a staffing issue, something that is, quote unquote, their fault.
Yeah.
Then they're supposed to give you some kind of, I bet you can write a letter. You can write a letter and get that. You can get that taken
care of. So my dad's gift to me was first class traveling with the baby for the first time. Have more room.
Uh-huh.
Get on the plane when you want. Get off the plane early. So that was gone. Like, there's no makeup from American the next day. Seats were already taken up. I'm going to go to Southwest. Business executive. That's what you need, they tell me. And I was like, is there a difference? Is there a...
You just get the board earlier. You get the board in the first...
Only get the board earlier. But I was thinking in my mind, I was trying to wonder, are the first like 5 or 6 rows on Southwest a little bit different? The first 3? Nope.
No.
They're not. So, blank amount of money later, I'm sitting there with my Southwest executive... And they're like, well, you get a drink voucher.
Whoa.
And I'm sitting there with the drink voucher. And then I remember.
They don't do alcohol anymore.
Yeah. So I'm seething towards the ripoff of Southwest, the communication issues of American and Lyft, and Men's Warehouse sucking, leaving me tuxless on the wedding day.
Man, I can't.
Traveling sucks.
I can't really defend the airline there. They're, like I said, they're supposed to give you a room. If it's their fault, that's their fault.
Yep.
Man, the tux thing. This is what stinks about having anybody from out of town in your wedding. Whether or not it's your wedding as a destination or your wedding party and you've got a lot of friends from out of town. There's always a problem because they have to go get the tux fitted at a place that isn't the same exact spot location where they're going to get the actual tux from. And there's always an issue.
Yeah.
It's always a nightmare. And getting those Ubers and getting those, even when you schedule them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, sometimes they just don't show up.
Yeah. You think you're locked in.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, like they I don't know when. I don't know when the app, you know, pings somebody to pick you up. If it's, I would assume it's right away, so they schedule it hours and hours in advance.
Yeah.
But maybe they just schedule it an hour in advance, and nobody says yes. And that's like, that stinks.